And now it's my pleasure to introduce our pastoral candidate for Living Waters Chapel, Pastor James Brandt.
Good morning. Good morning, Living Waters. Wow, that praise was amazing. Woo, I don't know about you, but when that gets going, you just want to stay in it, amen? Oh, how many of you sense the Holy Ghost in here right now? Woo, Father God, we give you praise. I don't know about you, but I'm sweating. And it's not because I'm nervous. His presence is in this place. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, I pray that every heart would be opened. Holy Ghost, we honor you. Jesus, we exalt you in this place. And yes, we thank you that the floodgates are open. Minister, Holy Spirit, to every individual in this place. Every individual in this place right now. Every heart be open. Lord, I pray that a spirit of wisdom and revelation would be loosed upon every person, upon every heart right now, Lord. That I pray they would hear that which I don't say. That you would reveal more than I say. That they would take away from this service that which they need to press on, to move forward in your perfect will for their lives. Amen. And everyone said? Amen. Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Acts chapter 20. You get to know me. I love the Word of God. I love giving many scriptures in my messages, because if it's just James giving the message, sure, might be a good message. But if I can prove to you what I'm saying is in the Word of God, that's our foundation. Amen. And it's only the Word of God that builds faith on the inside of us. Amen? Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Only the Word of God can create faith. Amen? Amen. And now, I want you to realize something. In the original, that means, and faith comes by hearing, not one time. It literally means this, comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. So whenever I hear a Christian say, oh, I've heard that before, look out, that's danger zone. Amen? Amen. We cannot hear the Word of God enough. Amen. So Acts chapter 20, verses 18 through 24, I want to take a look at here. Whew, glory to God. What a great day. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know that from the first day, him is the Apostle Paul. You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful. You might want to underline that. I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that the chains, that chains and tribulations await me. Wait a minute, that's got to be the enemy saying that, right? Holy Spirit would never reveal that, right? Oh, he did. But none of, here it is. This is it. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. I want you to know something. Every word in this book is divinely inspired. There is not one word in that book that is wasted. It is all inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit used man to put it on paper, to write it down. Amen. But don't be deceived. This book, The author is the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. The Apostle Paul made a very bold statement under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, none of these things, all of these trials, all of these tribulations that I'm going through for the gospel's sake, none of these things move me. Why? He said, so that I might finish my course with joy and finish the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus and testify of the gospel of the grace of God. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants us Christians to realize that it is possible, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of so-called setbacks in your life, it is possible to stay right in line with the perfect will of God for your life. Amen. Listen to me. All things work together for the good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. I don't care what happened to you in your life. You know what? I've had a lot of bad things. Marianne, she's had a lot of bad things happen to her in life. Listen to me. God will turn it around. I'm telling you right now, even delays, even, people get angry. They're at the airport. Their flight's delayed. Maybe God's protecting them from something. I want to tell you this. I want to just climb up the mountain of faith and give you a different perspective than maybe you've seen before. Things that you've been complaining to God about. God, my purpose is over. It's done. It's over. I can't bounce back from this thing. How many of you have been there before? You had something. If you're human, you've had it done. Oh, no. He is ready and willing to turn this thing around. But here's what I want to implant in you today, Living Waters, is I want to show you how not to be moved out of the will of God for your life. No matter what comes your way. In 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 27, Paul tells us that he was beaten with rods. He was stoned. He was left for dead. He was shipwrecked. He was thrown in prison often. He had persecution everywhere he went. Everywhere he went. Now, let me ask you this. Why? I had someone ask me about the seeker-sensitive church movement on Friday night. Why would the body, the church of Christ, why would we try to be like the world? Right. The world is looking for something different. Amen. We need to confront them with the gospel, something different that's going to change hearts. Amen? Amen? Paul knew the importance of this. He knew his calling. He knew his purpose. Prison, shipwreck, can you imagine? All these things. By the way, let me just give you a little nugget. Paul's thorn in the flesh was not a sickness or disease. It's very clear in the Word of God. It takes a demonic spirit not to see it, to deceive you from it. It was persecution. It was a demonic spirit that was following him around, stirring up persecution everywhere he went, trying to stop him from advancing the kingdom of God. That's what the thorn in the flesh was. But the enemy would love to kind of twist it and make it a sickness and disease and think, hey, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He was spiritual, right? He had an infirmity. No, don't buy that lie. It was persecution. And then he sought the Lord three times to remove that thing. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. Remember that? The devil really likes to use this, right? No. You know why Paul was not delivered from that persecution? Because there is not one promise in the Word that we would be delivered from persecution for the sake of preaching the gospel. Right. Now, there are promises for healing in the Word of God. If it was a sickness or disease that Paul had, we might as well just close the Bible, go home and put on fat pants and watch reruns of Gilligan's Island right now. And it would contradict everything the Word of God says about healing. Right? So that's why you got to stay congruent. The Word of God confirms itself. It never contradicts itself. It always confirms itself. So if you read a passage, a couple passages that seem to contradict something, always remember this nugget. The problem is never with the Word of God. The problem is your understanding of it. And that's why it's so important to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, the author. of the book. Who knows the Bible more and better and can open it up to you than the Holy Spirit? Amen. So today, I want to ask you this. Well, actually, so Paul, you know, so he said, yet none of these things move me. Will move you where? He's saying that none of these things will move me off of my purpose of staying close to Jesus, of advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ, of telling others about the gospel, that they would be saved from an eternity in the pits of hell. Think about it. Think about it, Living Waters. Right now, this is very sobering. Right now, somewhere around the world, there's people passing away right now without knowing Jesus. And they're going into an eternity. In hell for eternity. Do we care? You see, sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own lives, our own situations, and we forget about the spiritual reality. Guess what? That's what the enemy wants exactly for us. Oh yeah, he wants you to get caught up in the worldliness, the riches of this world. You know, let me tell you something. I've been mentioning this when I've been preaching places, and people's mouths just drop when I say it because it is true. Let me ask you this. When you're on your deathbed, are you going to be on your deathbed surrounded by family saying this? Man, I wish I would have gotten that raise in 1982. Wow, I wish I would have worked overtime more. I wish I would have bought a four-wheeler, right? Are you going to be saying that on your deathbed? Absolutely not. What are you going to say? Well, I wish I would have walked closer with the Lord. Well, I wish I would have spent more time with family. Things that really matter. So I'm here to put some smelling salts under your spiritual nose and try to bring you back to the spiritual reality of where we as Christians need to be. What's really going to matter when you're on your deathbed? Just think of that. Next time that you find yourself falling into that whole thing with lust and wanting more. Well, what really matters in life? Amen. And by the way, a relationship with the Lord is the only thing that will bring you fulfillment and happiness. Do you want to know why? Because let me tell you something. You think you're a human being, right? Well, first of all, let me tell you this. You are first and foremost a spirit being. Do you know that? You are a spirit being. You possess a soul, mind, will, and emotions. And you live, come on, in an earth suit. This earth suit makes us legal here. Once this earth suit falls away and passes away, guess what comes out? The real you, the spirit man. So you, listen to this. So you chasing after worldly possessions, listen to me, is against your nature. You as a believer walking in unbelief is against your nature. Oh, but James, isn't it just normal to, you know, not believe God and all that? Let me say it again. Not believing him as a Christian, after all, we are called, right? Believers. Right? But the problem is we like to pick and choose what we want to believe. It's like you're going down a salad bar, right? Oh, I'll believe in healing. Casting out demons. No, I don't want to believe. That's a little too messy. You know, I'll take a little bit of, not tongues. I'm uncomfortable with that. Okay, so you just kind of move down the line. It's like a, you know, salad bar. And guess what? It's all based on our comfort zones. But I found something out. The Holy Spirit doesn't seem to respect my comfort zone. He doesn't. But you know what? He knows you the best. He created you. He knows your purpose. He knows your potential. And today, Living Waters, I want to encourage you, take the chains off and get back into your purpose. God wants to use you like never before. Welcome to the end times. We are in the end times. Amen. So I want to ask you today, Living Waters, what moves you? Anxiety, fear, bitterness, unforgiveness, your emotions, your flesh, past failures, your thought life, the riches of this world. People who treat you bad, man, they have control over you, boy. If someone treats you bad, boy, you just go, whew, man, you go off. Right? I mean, you're wondering if you're even saved. Right? You get so in the flesh. Right? Depression. You struggling with depression today? Despair, doubt, double-mindedness. I want to share with you some keys from God's word that I believe will help you fulfill the will of God with for your life with joy. Now, these keys will help you stay on course and not be moved by circumstances. The Apostle Paul had a desire and a motivation to press on. Why? We got to ask ourselves why. What did give Paul such a boldness, right? Here it is. The Apostle Paul had a life-changing salvation experience with the Lord. He tasted the presence of God. He tasted the before, and he tasted the after, and he liked the after better. See, here's what I want to say. Your salvation experience, when you got saved, should have been a no-so experience. What does that mean? It's not one of these things. Hey, tell me a little bit about when you got saved, or how long have you been saved? Oh, well, I grew up in the church. Yeah. Mom and dad always took me to church. Well, let me tell you something. God doesn't have grandchildren. God only has children. All right? So you can't bounce off that. My point is this. If you're feeling dry in your walk with God today, you need to spend some time alone in the Word, time with Him, until His presence comes and refreshes you and lights a fire on the inside of you like never before. The Apostle Paul, he experienced the power of God. Listen, I don't know if you know this or not, but God is not done doing miracles, signs, and wonders. The same God that parted the Red Sea is still the God that you serve today. Here's the problem, America. We love humanism. Self-help. I can do it on my own. Oh, yeah, let's just trust this medication. I'm not saying medication's bad, so don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is our first faith and trust and hope should be in the Lord. Should be in the Lord. Amen? And many times it's not. And the Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. And when I read that before, I thought, wow, that is really hard, Lord. Really? Whatever is not of faith is sin. And the Holy Spirit showed me this. He said, people believe something all the time. Whether someone has unbelief, if you have unbelief, guess what? You're still believing something. Everyone has a belief system on the inside of them. So whatever's not of faith or whatever is not of trust in the Word of God, you're putting your faith and trust in something other than God. And you know what the Bible calls that? Idolatry. That is why whatever's not of faith is sin. The Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit showed that to me, I about fell out of my chair. I'm like, wow, that makes sense. Listen to me. Let me tell you this. Every question that you have in your heart for the Lord, let me tell you right now, He has the exact answer that will make you go like this. I guess that's true. That's right. Are you hearing me? Let me say it again. Every question you have in your heart, God has an answer for it. He does. Take comfort in that and peace. Now, here's your part. Ask, seek, knock. Most people stop at ask. Let's face it. Most Christians are lazy. Who's really pressing in for more of God? Who's really pressing in? Ask, seek, knock. Don't stop at ask. Keep on moving. Amen? So the gospel must be real and alive to you, not just a tradition, not just a story. So if you're backslidden in your walk with God today, you need to come back to your first love, Jesus Christ. Some of the most miserable Christians are easily moved off course, are those who separate church stuff from their personal life. Let me give you a little secret. Church stuff, personal life. You want to know what the Lord's desire is? That there is no gap. There is no gap. Amen? It flows together. What you do here, how you act here, should be how you act out in the world. Come on, somebody. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. I remember Kenneth Hagin used to say that at Rhema. Key number one on how to stay on course. Build your life upon God's word. Everything else is just shifting sand. Go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, 46. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Many of you know this, but we're going to listen to it again, right? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man who is building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like the man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. It wasn't just ruined. The Lord goes on to say, the ruin was great. I want you to notice something here, that both of these individuals heard the word. Are you hearing me? Both individuals heard the word. It wasn't like one heard it and did it, and the other one just didn't hear it and didn't know about it. No, they heard. They both heard the word. But one did it and one didn't. You know what wisdom is? Doing the word. Wisdom is putting God's word into action in your life. Your heart, the psalmist said in Psalms 57:7, he said, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. Your heart must be fixed, established, unmovable. I've preached a message in the past. You guys may have listened to it. It's called On Purpose Christianity. There is nothing that happens in the Christian life by accident. Everything you do is on purpose. Let me tell you this, by default, the flesh wins in a Christian's life. If you do nothing, if you don't get into the word, if you don't pray, guess what? Your flesh becomes stronger than your born-again spirit. By default, you do nothing, the flesh wins. But you need to do something to, I love this word, override. Say override. You need to override the flesh, and that can only be done on purpose. Amen. So your heart must be fixed. We as Christians are not to be led by our emotions. Faith has nothing to do with emotions. Are you hearing me? I'm going to listen to this. Faith, God is not even moved by your tears. Now, he's nigh to those who are of a broken heart. But we get all that. He's compassionate. He loves us, right? But without faith, it's impossible to please him. We are required to believe. Do you know what unbelief is? Faith in the devil's stuff. Faith in everything that is not of the Lord. Think about it. See, this is sobering stuff here, but we need to hear it because I want to bring you back. Come on, back into reality. Spiritual reality. Because you are a spirit being. You are a spirit being. Now, here's another thing. Knowing that you are a spirit being, I guarantee if you meditate on that fact when you're in prayer that you're a spirit being, I guarantee you this, you will hear from the Holy Spirit clearer. I guarantee you. Meditate on the fact that you are a spirit being. It will open your spiritual ears in a greater dimension. So we are not to be led by our emotions, but rather by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never lead you outside of the boundaries of God's word. Go to Colossians chapter 1. You getting anything out of this? Praise God. Oh, yes. The Word of God is rich. It's amazing. It's the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. You ever heard that one? Basic instructions before leaving earth, Bible. All right. It's our handbook. All right. Here we go. So Colossians 1, 21 through 23. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind. Interesting. Woo. By wicked works. Interesting how the thought life's connected to works. Thought life is connected to works. Interesting. Yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, underline it, if you continue in the faith, these things will happen. Interesting, huh? Grounded, there it is, how not to be moved. Grounded, steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Oh, yeah. Word of God is rich. Yeah. Ephesians, it's supernatural. You got to understand, when you're reading this, understand something's happening. Some people say, well, James, you know, I just don't have a hunger. I don't have a desire to read the word. I lost the hunger for it. Okay, yeah, we got a way to solve this problem. You want to hear what it is? Force feed yourself the word of God. Force feed yourself the word of God. Now, when you're here today, I'm putting a big old IV right in you, right? Come on, we're trying to get some in you here today. But force feed yourself, and I guarantee you, it will not be long until you'll start to get a, wow, yeah, it feels good to read the word. It feels amazing to read the word. I feel different. Things are changing in my life. Amen. Oh, so force feed yourself the word of God. Ephesians 3, 13 through 19. Look at this. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Wow, the Apostle Paul, he was just humble, wasn't he? I mean, talk about putting others before himself. Amen? For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's going into a prayer mode here. This is interesting. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, because you're a spirit being, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Faith is pretty important. That you being rooted, here it is, how not to be moved. I'm going to stand strong in the will of God and purpose for my life, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It goes beyond the natural mind. It's a heart thing. His love is supernatural. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. Let me tell you this. Working in the deliverance ministry, emotional healing, many people who've had issues with their father or mother, their parent in the past, they had a really bad relationship with them. Guess what they do? They take that into their relationship with God. So now they're viewing God through the lens of that human relationship. Let me tell you something. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do, and it's a mistake. Because listen to me, your heavenly Father has never let you down. I don't know if you know that or not, but your heavenly Father has never let you down. Amen. What happened in your life was either a bad choice on your part, you opened the door to the enemy, or it was just an unfortunate circumstance. But let me tell you, you can always cling to the Lord. Amen. He has your best interest in store, trust me. So God is love. As you are strengthened by his spirit in the inner man, as you're rooted and grounded in his supernatural love, in God's word, guess what you're doing? You're opening yourself up for more illumination and revelation from the Holy Spirit. You've got to be rooted and grounded in love. God is love. So as you're staying rooted in the Lord. You know what? When I say rooted in the Lord, you know what I'm really talking about? Staying in the word. Listen, without the word of God, we wouldn't even know who the Lord is. Do you understand that? This is a revelation of who he is. And everything he believed from Genesis to Revelation, everything we need to live a successful life, he put it all in here. And guess what? And not even that. Jesus said this, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to show you and open more things to you. So the Holy Spirit, the author of the book, says, so a scripture will come up to you in your heart. And then the Holy Spirit says, you know, Joyce, Don, I want to open that up to you now and show you how to apply it in your personal life. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would bring scripture in his words to our remembrance. Now, let me ask you this. Is the Holy Spirit able to bring something to your remembrance that you never read before? What I'm saying is, you have to get into the word and you're giving the Holy Spirit something to work with. So when you're in a situation, get into the word, feed on the word, not just in the bad times. Sometimes in that time, it's too late. We want to get into it early so we can try to prevent a lot of things from coming against us. Are you hearing me? But fill yourself. I like to say it this way, fill your file cabinet with scripture. And what happens is when you come up against a situation, you're like, Lord, help me, show me, how do I handle this? Guess what the Holy Spirit does? He pulls open the cabinet and he takes a scripture and he says, this is your rhema word that you need to hold on to in this storm. Are you hearing me? Ooh, thank you, Lord. Psalm chapter 1:1-3. Go there with me. I'm trying to rip through this as best as I can, but I'm having fun, so I guess that's all that matters, right? All right, so here we go. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1-3. Look at these words. Blessed is the man or person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, meaning you're not running with them, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, or the word of God. And in his law, he meditates an hour a day. What? Oh, it doesn't say that? Oh, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, he meditates day and night. Wow. Now, you could see, now say if we give God 15 minutes a day in our thought life. Now, you can see real easy how our lives become a wreck. Why? Because we're not following the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving Earth. It's like getting a toy for your kid, right? You open the box, here's the instructions, you're like, I don't need them. And then you're spending all day trying to figure out how to put this thing together. That's how we look to God. God's looking down just like, get into my word. I gave you everything you need to know. And he even went beyond giving us his word, but the Holy Spirit, a relationship with the author who leads us into that personal touch. Say personal touch. Key chapter 2 to stay on course. You need to expect persecution, expect trials and tribulation as a Christian. If you are going to live godly on this earth, Jesus said, you will have tribulation. And then he went on to say, count it all joy. So here's where the seeker-sensitive movement started. Because they have a problem with being rejected. They have a problem with people not liking them. Jesus said this. See, it's interesting how worldly thinking is so different from the kingdom of God. The worldly thinking is, oh, we need to blend in with them so nobody criticizes us. Jesus said, ha, count it all joy, boys and girls. Count it all joy when someone comes against you, when they come against you for my name's sake. But then he goes on to say, he says, don't worry, I've overcome the world. Why do we want to be go back and be like the world when Jesus overcame it? We need to be better, church. The body of Christ as a whole, we need to do better on this. That's why the seeker-sensitive movement is not scripturally based. Listen, let me tell you this. You know, seeker-sensitive, what they do is they keep topics out that would offend someone. Let me ask you this. Do you think the Holy Ghost would censor himself? Come on, somebody. Come on. Wake up call. Come on. Would the Holy Spirit, who put things in here, that abortion is murder, homosexuality is wrong, Sodom and Gomorrah, come on, let's just be real. Let's be real behind the pulpit today, right? Would the Holy Spirit censor himself? Absolutely not. That's how we know the seeker-sensitive movement is not led by the Holy Ghost, but by the flesh. Now, let me tell you this. Many are told when they get saved that there will be no problems in their life. And then when the storm comes, they say, hey, I didn't sign up for this. I'm out of here. Why don't we just be honest with people? Listen, you're making a commitment for the Lord Jesus Christ. The world's not going to like this. Some of the people you've been running with, they're not going to like it very much. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be trials for the sake of Jesus. You know, I hear people sometimes say, oh, I've given so much up for the Lord. I've given up so much. Yeah, hell. Think about it. In eternity in hell. See, this is where we got to come back. Remember, this life is not about us. It really isn't. Now, God has blessings and great things for us. Absolutely. It's all in there. People, we got to bring others with us. The only treasure you're going to bring with you to heaven is more souls. That's why, Living Waters, this area is yours. You are living in this area right now. This is your assignment, people. This is your assignment. It's time. It's time to go outside of your comfort zones. Amen? Amen? So this especially goes with the youth in public schools and colleges. All of you who are the youth here in the service, high schoolers, listen to me. Don't fit in. Don't try to fit in with the crowd. Listen, looking back, I'm 43 years old now, right? I graduated in 96 from Emily City High School. And I look back and I think, I wish I would have stood up for the Lord more. I do. You know, I could have made such an impact in the things that I compromised back then. What a waste. And maybe there's some of my classmates who, some of them have passed away. Some have committed suicide. They could be in hell right now, and if I would have shared the gospel with them, maybe I could have changed something. Maybe not. But some people are called to water, plant the seed. Others are called to water the seed. Let me tell you this. The results are up to the Lord. The Lord gives the increase. But the Lord has nothing to increase if you don't plant or water. Wouldn't it be stupid to walk out to a garden, dig a hole, and just wait there, and you're just kind of sitting in your chair, and someone comes up to you 2 weeks later, you know, and we're like, what are you doing? Oh, just, you know, waiting for this vegetable to grow. Did you plant any seed? Oh, no. No. See, we got to plant the word. It's what's called the incorruptible seed. So listen to me. The problem is never with the seed. The problem, if someone receiving the Lord, is in their heart. The parable of the sower talks about it. If I'm fortunate to come back, we'll talk about that too. Amen? But Hallelujah. So John 16, 33. Go there with me real quick. John 16, 33. Hallelujah. See, the church service, this is like halftime. Halftime. Starting another week. Come on, let's get fired up, team. Come on. Let's do this. It's time to get, I know you had a rough week. Come on. Bringing you back. Pastor's bringing you back into reality. Amen. Back to what really matters in life. John 16, 33. He said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Notice, nothing in the world is going to bring you peace. It might be short-lived, but it's a false peace. Many people are walking around with a false peace. Say false peace. False peace. Only Jesus gives true peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, Paul expected persecution. It didn't take him by surprise. See, when you're I found out something. When you're prepared for something, you're ready for it. You're ready for it, right? Isn't it the worst if you're standing and someone behind you just comes up and pushes you and you're not even ready for it? You fall face forward, right? But if you know someone's going to be coming, man, you're ready. You're fixed. You're standing. You're ready to go. Amen. Now, all right. So count it all joy. Number three, to stay on course with the will of God, we need to realize the real enemy is Satan and demon spirits. Ephesians chapter 12 talks about that. Jesus and the Apostle Paul, they stayed focused on the fact that the people they were ministering to, they're lost. They're blind. They're in the dark. They're ignorant of what they're doing, right? They are. You know, so many Christians get offended when, you know, someone, they're out and about and they hear someone, an unbeliever, swear or something. It's like, guess what? They're a sinner. That's what they do. Right. And then you got to kind of slap them a little bit, bring them back and say, you know, bud, we were like that too before we came to Christ. Right. Are you right? Be patient with people. Plant the word, right? It said that Jesus ate with sinners, but I want to notice something. He wasn't eating with them to become like them. He was with them to change them. He was trying to change them. Amen. Now, some of you, maybe the younger kids or anybody here, you know, you're hanging with people that are a bad influence. You're trying to minister to them. Just kind of take spiritual inventory, because if you hang with those people and you're not affecting them, but they are affecting you, there might need to be a separation, and then all you can do is kind of pray, Lord, send another laborer into their path. Are you hearing? That's wisdom, guys. That's absolute wisdom. Just make sure you're setting the temperature and they're not dropping yours. All right? Let's see here. All right, so number four, to stay on course, keep your eyes or focus on the prize. You know something, when I'm driving down the road, and I'm driving straight on the road, when I turn my head and I'm looking at something for a while, where do you think I'm going to go, what do you think I'm going to steer toward? That distraction. That's why your thought life is so important. What are you focusing on? I want to encourage you, change your focus back on the word, back on the promises of God's word. Jesus did, it says that he endured those things for the joy that was set before him. Amen? Amen. See, we as Christians, we got it great. It really is amazing, because whether we live, Paul said, whether I live, we got victory. Whether I die, I'm going to be with the Lord in heaven. We have nothing to fear. Are you hearing me? You know what fear is? False evidence appearing real. False evidence, F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. We have nothing to fear. Either way, guess what? We win. I've read the end of the book. Amen? Key number five. I'm almost done here. To stay on course with the will of God, realize that the Lord is with you in every circumstance and trial in your life. Psalm 23, go there. Psalm 23, verse 4. Just look at this. It's beautiful. Now, I know in a sermon, a minister says a lot of things, and A lot of people might, they always say, I can't remember everything that was said. It was good. It was, you know. But listen to this. Let me give you a little piece on that. The Holy Spirit, you might have one thing, two things, three things that kind of stood out to you. Those are the things the Holy Spirit wanted you to get from that message. Other than that, get a tape. Get a CD. Watch it online. Refresh yourself. But just know, the things that stick with you, those are the things the Holy Spirit wanted to minister to you personally about. Amen? Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. I used to read that because I used to hear that all the time at funerals, you know. It's a great passage at a funeral to talk about. But that's talking about now. We need it when we're walking through trials, when we're walking through dark things in our life, right? My aunt, Bonnie, just lost. My uncle, Dennis, just died of COVID in Lapeer Hospital this last week. And let me tell you, when you lose a loved one, there's a valley of the shadow of death right there. But it says that God is with you. He will pull you out. Listen, let me say this. If you're experiencing grief in your life from a loss of a loved one, a loss of a relationship, whatever it may be, God is with you. And I'll tell you this, the Lord uses time to heal. He does. I, in the midst of it, you feel like, how am I ever going to move forward? He heals. He heals. Amen. So just know there's a process. There's a process taking place, and God is with you every step of the way. Amen? All right, so let me just touch on this, and then we'll stop. But one of the devil's strategies against a Christian is to plant thoughts in our minds, thoughts of fear, thoughts of anxiety, thoughts of offense, trying to, you know, with bitterness and hatred toward another person. Let me tell you this. This is what the enemy's trying to do. It's not just the thought. The end game of the enemy is this. So the enemy plants a thought in your mind, right? It's from the outside. It came in. But now you're kind of thinking about it. You're pondering. You're meditating on that thing. When you meditate on it, you've taken hold of it and you made it now your thought. You following me? So you take that, but that's not the end game. That's not the end game. The next part is he wants you to meditate on that thought so deep that it comes out of your mouth. You're starting to speak negative words. Now here's the end game, the power of our words. Did you know the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God are both voice activated? Angels are released when you speak the word. Demons are released and given permission through the words that we speak. In fact, in the occult, that's what these people that do spells. Spells are words. They're giving permission to the spirit realm, the enemy. Now, here's what's so sad is that those in the dark kingdom of darkness have figured this out more than the church. They're using it for twisted, perverted, and evil purposes. We can use it for good purposes because the power of words is a spiritual law. What does that mean? It can be used for good. It's neutral. It's neutral. So here's a neutral. So you speak the word of God, boom, you're in the positive. You just release. In fact, the word of God says that angels are released when you put voice to his word. It says the angels, this is what it says, the angels hearken unto the voice of his word. Now, the casual reading of that, you kind of read that and you think, oh, okay, well, God speaks and angels move. Mm-mm. It says that they hearken to the voice of his word. Who gives voice on this earth for the word of God? We do. So when you give voice to the word of God, and let me tell you something, if there's one thing, if you're in a trial, a situation, if you don't know how to pray, pray in the spirit, of course, but listen, if there's one thing you want to utter, Jesus, speak the name of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will give you a scripture. Speak that scripture. And what's happening that you don't see in the invisible is that angels are dispatched into that situation. Powerful. There is power in the words. So remember, who you are today is what you spoke yesterday. Who you are tomorrow is what you're speaking today. Let the word come out of your mouth. Take spiritual inventory. Have I been speaking negative? Have I been giving place to the enemy with my words? Are you hearing me? Powerful. We'll, if I'm fortunate to come back, we'll talk more about the power of our words. Now, oh my. So, like the Apostle Paul, determine and settle it in your heart right now that you will refuse to be moved out of the will of God for your life. Church, there is no other option. Just like Peter said to Jesus, Jesus said, Peter, are you going to leave me too? Peter said, just some great wisdom, Lord, where would I go? And I ask you, if you've been running from the Lord, where are you going? You're not going to go anywhere without the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you right now, I want to hear these words from Jesus when I enter heaven. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, praise God. Now, we're going to do communion. So does everybody have the elements? Yeah, I can't need one. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Amen. Wow. What a great day this has been. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whew. Everybody has it? Hold on. Let me make sure I... All right. Hallelujah. I want everybody to close their eyes right now. Just close your eyes, and I want you to just block everything out that you've been going through this week. Maybe something in the message hit you like a ton of bricks today. Maybe right now the Holy Spirit is showing something to you right now. I want you to right now just ask the Lord in your heart, just say, Lord, show me anything in my life that is not pleasing to you. Show me anything in my life that is blocking, that is damming up the living waters from gushing out of me. I want to just take a moment of silence just in your own heart when the Holy Spirit reveals that, or maybe it's something so blatant you know exactly the thing. Maybe there's a sin that you've been tapping into, but today your heart was pricked. Today you're like, I got to make a change and come back to my first love. So I'm going to just, let's have a moment of silence right now before we continue and ask the Lord for forgiveness and just repentance, a change, a mindset change. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your broken body. Your body that took stripes. Lord, I pray for every person in this room right now that has a sickness, that has an infirmity. Jesus, you took stripes for that healing. I loose your healing anointing upon that individual from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet right now. Thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. It was broken for us. You were so, so humble. God came down from heaven to be the spotless lamb. Jesus, we thank you. You may partake of the bread. We remember the sacrifice, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being so present in this place right now. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, not only your broken body, not only the stripes for our healing, for our freedom, for our deliverance, but your shed blood Your blood was shed. Jesus, you endured the cross. I can't even fathom that. The pain, the emotional torture, the separation from his heavenly Father. Can you imagine this? But he did it for us. He could have let us just all go to hell. You understand that, don't you? But he did it. And it says that he kept focus on the prize that was set before him. And guess who that prize was? You. Jesus loves you so much. Jesus, we thank you for your shed blood that has overcome Satan, that's overcome demonic spirits, that's overcome everything the curse brought in. Jesus, you reversed the curse. You understand that, right? Jesus reversed the curse. We do not have to live how the world lives. Come on. But we got to tap into it by faith. Believing. You got to put your yes and amen on every promise. Jesus, we thank you for his shed blood. We remember it. We honor it. And I plead the blood of Jesus over every person in this place and their family members, over this building and property, over this region that's going to have revival fire. Because of that blood, Jesus, your sacrifice will not be wasted, Jesus. Revival fire in this region. Drink the cup. Hallelujah. Woo. We will not waste the sacrifice of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand today. Hallelujah. Ha. Woo. Wow. Well, Living Waters, I'll tell you what, you guys have been amazing. You guys are awesome. Whether I'm pastor or not, this place is amazing. Shoot, if I don't get voted in, we might still come here once in a while. I love it here. This is amazing. God's doing great things. Board members, thank you so much. I know you're scattered around here. Board members, you guys have been great, very kind and generous. Whatever the Holy Spirit leads, I'm at peace with. I just know this place is going to do mighty things with or without James. Amen? Amen? All right, guys. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Oh, 1 second, everybody. I do want to thank you for coming. It's been a blessing to listen to you guys and get to meet you. And I know on behalf of the board, it's been an honor to be able to do this search for you. It really has. There's been some trying times, of course. But it's been an honor to do this. And I really have no idea how this is going to turn out. If it does, that's great. If it doesn't, that's fine. We'll continue the search for you. But Chris being Chris, I lost my train of thought. Where was I going with that? Thanks, Chris. We will continue the search for you. And now it's time for all of us to do our work. We need to be going. We need to be home. We need to be in prayer over this for the next week. And we'll come in next Sunday and probably after Pastor Paul shares a word with us. We'll take a couple few questions at the end. If we can answer them, we will. And then we'll vote. But please, now it's time for all of us to do what we need to do and be on our knees and praying and God's will in this matter. Anything anybody needs to add? Anybody want to add anything? No? Okay. All right, let's close this out with prayer. Father, we praise you. We thank you. I thank you for the word you laid on Pastor James's heart. We can tell, Lord God, he has a heart for you. So we praise you and we thank you for that. I ask you, Lord God, as we go about our week, as we're seeking your face, your will in this matter, we seek your discernment, Lord, in this matter, as we, whether this is the path you want us to go at this time or not, Lord God, we want your will and your will alone. We ask you, Lord God, to kick our will to the side. Help us, Lord God, to hear clearly from you on what you want done with this matter as we move forward. And Father, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise and honor and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Yes.